Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
I'm going to ask you if you would, if you have your Bibles, would you look at a few passages of scripture with me found in the book of Exodus, 33rd chapter, verses 16 through 19. And if you're here, you have your Bibles or your source of reading, you can rest on your feet. And if you're not able to stand on your feet, we understand, but we ask those that can, please rest on your feet to the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. And we also ask that you allow me to read this aloud in your hearing as you read it silently. Now, for those that don't have a source of the Word, whether it be your tablet, your phone, or a hard copy Bible, just look straight up on the screen and those scriptures will be reflected there. As we look at Exodus 33, 16 through 19, it says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" He's asking a question. "Is it not in that thou goest with us?" Question. "So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Isn't that something? God knows each and every one of us by name. In verse 18, it says, "And he said," meaning Moses, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Eternal God, once again, we are grateful and thankful to you. We realize that it's in you that we live, we move, and we have our very being. And without you, literally, we could do nothing. So we come before you and we ask God, let us not just be a hearer this morning of your word, but let us apply it to our daily lives. And God, I ask if there is anyone here that has never received you in the power and might of your Holy Spirit, this day, let that be the day that they repent of their sins, they're baptized in Jesus' name, and that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, when all of these things are said and done, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Now, before you're seated, if you would be so kind to allow me to read to you one verse of scripture, and that's found in the 18th verse of Exodus 33. "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." In the remaining time that I have, I want to leave the thought with you. Show me thy glory. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, perhaps it is needful for me to share with you how this all took place, what this is on the heels of. So just please allow me to give you the backdrop of the whole thing. If you were to go to the 32nd chapter of Exodus, the children of Israel had been wearied of waiting for Moses. Moses had went up to the mountaintop Mount Sinai to commune with the Lord, and the Lord at that time was going to give him the Ten Commandments. And as he was going, the people said, give us a God that we could worship. See, don't forget, they were brought out of Egypt. And see, God wants to bring many of us today out of Egypt. Egypt represents bondage. Egypt represents sin. And God brought them out of Egypt. But here they are wanting to go back by saying, give us gods that we could worship. And so they went to Aaron, and Aaron told them, okay, pull off all of your earrings, all of your jewelry. And then he made them a molten image, a calf, and they began to worship it. And Aaron told them, listen, we're going to build an altar before the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And they did. But when they did, the Bible said that they rose up early, ate, drank, and began to play and be merry. And that infuriated God, because God is with Moses on Mount Sinai, giving him the Ten Commandments. And so what happens is, now that they're about to come down off of the mount, and all of a sudden, Joshua, one of Moses' servants, says, I hear a sound in the camp. Maybe a sound of them in battle, war. And Moses said, no. That sound you hear is a sound of them making merry, partying, if you please. And so he was very, very upset. God was upset with him, the children of Israel, not Moses. And the thing that happens now, God is about to do away with all of them. And listen, this is why you need a man of God or a woman of God in your life. God is saying, you know what, Moses, I'm going to start from scratch. I'm going to give you a new nation. And Moses said, no, Lord, don't do that. He said, because if you do, the Egyptians are going to look at it and say, because he couldn't deliver them, he brought them out here to kill them. Now, I'm just paraphrasing. When you get a chance, you read the 33rd chapter. Or 32nd chapter. Now we enter the 33rd chapter. And Moses goes before God and he says, God, listen, please don't do that. And God tells him, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the people that I'm going to take into Egypt, or move that I brought out of Egypt, and take you into the land of promise. I'm going to destroy the Hittites, the Jebusites, all of those ites. He said, but one thing, I'm not going with you. Moses says to him, Lord, wait a minute. If you don't go with us, I don't want to go. And if you read the account, now we're in the 33rd chapter, and he begins to tell the Lord, Lord, what can we do to make this right? And the Lord told him, all of those people, you need to stand before them and ask the question, who's on the Lord's side? Oh, I wish I had me somebody right now that would declare, I'm on the Lord's side. He said, because all of those people that are on the Lord's side, this is what I want you to do. And he was saying, everyone that's against us, I want you to get your sword and I want you to slay them, whether it be mother, father, sister, brother. And I want you to slay them. On that day, 3,000 people died. Now Moses says, Lord, will you go with us? Will you be with us? And you finish reading the account and you'll find out now this is where we come at, because Moses interceded for the people. And one thing I forgot to tell you, he said, now, Lord, if you're not going to forgive them, then blot my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, these are my people. If you do away with them, do away with me. Now that's a pastor. Now this brings us to our thought. Show me thy glory. Perhaps in order to understand what is meant by Moses' request, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We need to chronicle Moses' previous encounters with the Lord to get a better understanding of his request. Moses' first encounter with God was while he was on the backside of the desert tending to his father-in-law's livestock. And while he was there, he noticed a bush that was burning, but it never burnt up. And out of that bush came a voice speaking unto Moses, telling Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. See, it's something about the holiness of God. God cannot and will not tolerate us coming into his presence any old kind of way. So that's his first encounter. And then how about when God instructed him how to use the rod that was going to be used to divide the Red Sea? Remember that encounter? He said, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, what I want you to do is throw it down. And when Moses threw it down, it turned into a snake. I don't know about you, but I don't like them. And so the very first thing that Moses probably did was jump back. And the Lord said, now what I want you to do is pick it up. Right there, some of us would have said, see ya. He said, pick it up by the tail. And when he picked it up, it became erect again, and it was a rod. These are encounters that Moses had with the Lord. Now, maybe we can see the glory. Now, again, we can see that the glory of God had been seen by Moses to a certain extent when God descended in fire upon Mount Sinai. That's in Exodus 19 and 18. And even more distinctiveness when he was called up and went into the midst of the cloud in Exodus 24 and 18. Now you might be asking yourself, if you're curious like me, after experiencing this type of intimacy with God, what would prompt Moses to request for God to reveal his glory? Perhaps Moses felt emboldened because he had obtained the full restoration of the people of God. He had caused God again, once again, to have favor on those people. So he was probably feeling pretty good about himself. So maybe he again felt so good that he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask something for myself. Anybody in here ever ask God for something for yourself? It's all right to pray for folk. It's all right to, but every now and then, it's some needs that we have. And we want to say, Lord, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. So we come to the place where he's feeling good that now he can come before the throne and say, now, Lord, here's my request. But what had been granted in him, instead of satisfying him, only made him desirous of something further, something closer, something that which nothing more could be imagined. You see, the more of God you get, the more of God you talk back to me. You see, the closer we get to God, the closer we want to be. And so all of those things, all of those encounters that I said to you, all that did was whet the appetite for him one day to say, now, Lord, I beseech thee. That means I plead with you. I'm begging you, show me your glory. So he asked, that is, to exactly that which man in the flesh cannot see. The Bible tells us no man can see God. If he does, he'll die. You know, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, I know we, a lot of times, we have our visions, quote unquote, our dreams, quote unquote, and we say we saw God. But let me just say to you, stop eating that pizza before you lay down at night. Because you did not see God. Because no man can see God and live. But now we find that he's asking, show me thy glory. and actually no flesh can see, or at any rate cannot see and live and tell the story. But of course, sometimes we ask for things that we don't know what we're asking. Remember, the mother asked Jesus, can my sons be on your right and left hand side? She didn't know what she was asking, because that meant they were going to have to go through some stuff. And so here's Moses. He's asking for something that he really doesn't understand the gravity of it. So God tells him he shall see all that can be seen of him, more than anything which he has seen before. Somebody say before. Now, I'm telling you, I've been now saved for a long time, but there's still some things I hadn't seen. There's still some things I want to see. There's still people I want to see saved. There's still people I want to see delivered. And so there's things that I yet had not seen. And the same thing with Moses. He said, Moses, listen, there's some things that you hadn't seen as yet. He shall see his goodness. Now, this is where I need you to go back and allow me to read to you what transpires. Because after Moses asked, Lord, show me thy glory, he wants proof. Somebody said, we need proof. Sometimes, you know, we're talking to God and we say, now, Lord, if this is you, you know, we'd do a Gideon. Lord, if this is really you, I need you to do thus, thus, and thus. And can I get me one or two, maybe three or four real people in the house? Have you ever done that to God? And what did he do? He did just what you said. And you know what you did after that? Then you flipped the script. Well, Lord, wait a minute. Just to be for sure, if it's really you, what I'm trying to say to you is now Moses is wanting assurance. Somebody say he needs assurance. And so that's where we find again that he has already bartered with God and said, God, okay, this is what I'm saying to you, that if you're going to be with us, I need proof. So I'm going in verse number 12, the 33rd chapter. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. In other words, he's saying, now, Lord, if we like that now, come on, you need to tell me who is in this group that's going to move forward with me. He said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, Moses, therefore, he says, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee and I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. I need proof, Lord. I need assurance what you're telling me. And that's when we pick up in verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Remember before he said, I'm going to clear out the land that flows with milk and honey, but I'm not going with you. And Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. So now the Lord has said, this is going to be the proof. I will go with thee. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Verse 16, for herein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Question. This is how I'm going to know. Is it not in that thou goest with us? That's how we're going to know. See, some people talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. We have to know that God is with us. How do we know that God is with us? In the way that we live our lives. Now listen, hear me and hear me clearly. It's one thing to profess Christ. It's another thing to possess Christ. It's one thing to wear a cross, and it's another thing to bear a cross. You see, Moses is saying, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I need something more than what I've had in times past. Because as you can see, God was showing him some great things. God's presence was there in a great way. But what he wanted to see is the unrevealed stuff of God. So now, this is where we find him. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. God wants his goodness in your life to be seen. He wants you to know that he's a good God all the time. It says that, verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. Please, somebody hear this. God is sovereign. That means he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. And he can show mercy on whomsoever he will. I know sometimes you wonder, Lord, why did they have to leave? They were good people. They didn't do anything. And then here you see somebody on the street just tore down. And God is merciful to them. They're still here while that other person is gone. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, God can show mercy on whom he desires to. That's where he's saying to Moses, I will. Somebody say, I will.
I will
be gracious and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, if you continue to read this account, and I'll just share with you as we're winding up. He says, he shall see all his goodness. He shall have another revelation of the name of God. And further, he shall be strategically placed in a cleft of the rock. The rock in Horeb was typical of Christ, the rock of refuge, the rock of salvation and strength. Now, please, brothers and sisters, as he's placing him strategically in this rock, he's saying, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to let all of my goodness pass before you. And then it's going to come to a place that I'm going to pass before you. But when I do, I put you in the cleft of this rock. And then right as I'm about to pass by, because no man can see God in his glory, he said, I'm going to put my hand over your face, and all you're going to observe is my backside. When God did that, Moses was able to see something none of us have seen. When he says the backside, all of the reflection, all of the brightness, that's what he saw, but he couldn't see God. Now, as Moses' encounter with God has ended, he longed for that. That's what he desired, that blessing, which is promised to us after death. Somebody say after death. You won't see God's face until after death. If we die in the faith and those who fear the Lord, we shall see him in all of his glory. Increase of appetite will grow by what it feeds on. Now hear me, and I'm closing. Increase of appetite will grow by what it feeds on. What are you feeding on? What are you feeding on? You see, the veiled splendors, that means those things that he could see, the tangible things that he could see, the veiled splendors that had been allowed to be seen by him, only made him hunger for more of the unveiled radiance that he had not seen as yet. I don't know about you. When you get to be a certain age, things of this world just don't seem to matter as much as they did. You don't care about the fancy clothes. You don't care about that nice ride. You don't care about a mansion on Blueberry Hill. But what you begin to do, you begin to think about the things of God. And those things matter and mean more to you. And the things that Moses was blessed to see, all they did was stoke a fire in him, made a hunger raise up in him. He no longer wanted to see the veiled, but he wanted to see the unveiled things that caused him to hunger more and more for that which he had yet to see. Now, in my closing, how about you? Question. How about you, my brothers and my sisters and guests and or visitors? How's your appetite this morning? Are you hungry for the things of God? Do you want God more than you want anything or anyone in this world? How's your appetite? Are you wanting a closer relationship with God? I said this once, but it's worth reiterating. You hear people talk that all the time. Man, I want to get close to God. Well, newsflash, right now you are as close to God as you want to be. Because if you wanted to be closer, it's attainable. It costs something. Sometimes it costs you to push away from the table. Some of us can roll away from the table now. We've been up there so close. It causes for you to set aside a time of prayer and fasting because you say you want to get close to God, right? You are as close to God today as you want to be. So stop telling people, oh, I want to get close to God. Well, there's some things you got to give up to get close to God like that. There's some people you're going to have to disassociate if you want to get close to God like that. It's quiet in this apostolic tongue-talking church. But I'm telling you the truth. We say we want more of God. But really and truly, you got all the God that you want right now. That's why I said, how's your appetite? Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you wanting a closer relationship with God? Are you ready to receive the ultimate gift that God has for you? Somebody say it's a gift. Anybody know anything about gifts? It's free. A gift is free. Stop being scammed with those scam artists on the phone. Oh, hello, sir. We have a check waiting for you. But before we can send it, you need to give us at least $100. But wait a minute. You said it's a gift. That money's waiting for me. But I got to give $100. Bruh, sis, that ain't no gift. Let me show you what a gift is. Because some of y'all just still don't have it. Y'all don't have it. Mercy, this is the gift I want to give to you. I want to give that to you. Yeah, this is yours. I want to give that to you. Come on. Now, see, a gift is given, but the only way a gift can really be given if the recipient receives it. Mercy, this is your gift. That's all you got to do. Now it's yours. See, God has the ultimate gift for you. He said, according to Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, that's his ultimate gift, and it's waiting for you. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be. What are you hungry for? Whatever you need, God's got it. He's got everything you need. So the last question I pose to you, what are you waiting for? Can I get you to stand? Moses wanted more because what his experience had been in all of his encounters made him more hungry, more thirsty for wanting to be in the presence of God. I don't know where you are, really and truly. Y'all all could be at different junctures in life. But one thing I know for sure, that if you're here today and you say that you want more of God, the God of more is here. The God of more awaits you with his arms wide open. His question is, I've been here all the time. Where have you been? I've been waiting on you. See, don't get it twisted. There are those that say, hey, I'm seeking the Holy Ghost. I desire the Holy Ghost. Well, bruh, sis, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you to surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, I want to offer in this invitation a challenge to every man, woman, boy, and girl that's here under the sound of my voice. And yes, sir, YouTube, Facebook, and Anchor, it is for you. If there are things that are in your life right now that you really and truly can't make sense out of, and you are asking within yourself, there's got to be more, and you're absolutely right. The God of more awaits you. I don't see you on Facebook. I don't see you on YouTube or Anchor, but I will know one thing. That the word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it out to do. Today he's sending it out to challenge us. I beseech you, show me thy glory. God is ministering to you right now in a way that no one can even conceive. Perceive. There's a place at the altar for you. There's a place that you can come and just talk to Jesus, just you and him. I'm telling you, one thing you have to understand, when you come to the altar, it shouldn't be predicated on what somebody's going to think of you, what somebody's going to say about you, but is where you know you need to be. You know that if God should come right now, your life is a mess. You tore up from the floor up, and God said, I specialize in do-overs. I can make you and shape you and mold you again into the vessel that you need to be. Are you here? You too, you hear me say this, talk back to me. Facebook, you hear me say, talk back to me. Put your comment on them. Put your feelings where you are right now. We are praying for you. We believe that on the other side of that live stream, there's somebody breaking down right now, saying, Lord, I need you in my life. One day we'll see you on the other side of glory. Now, for those that are here, we want to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if you've committed sin, he'll forgive it. Oh, yes, he will. I'm asking you, listen, please, don't let it be said too late. While the blood is running warmly in your veins and you have a sound mind to make a conscious decision, please, please, please come to Jesus while you can.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.